And it says, but when he, that's Peter, when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried, Lord, save me. The next verse is found in Luke chapter 23, and it's verse 35. And it says this, and the people stood beholding, and the scribes also with them derided him, saying, he saved others. And then finally, I want to read with you in Titus chapter 3, another book in the Bible, and it's verse 5, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us. I'm sure you spotted the link. It's the word save or saved. We read the words of Peter, Lord, save me. We read the words of people that made fun of Jesus on the cross and said he saved others. And then we read what Paul wrote to his friend Titus. And Titus says, not by works of righteousness which he have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us. What does it mean to be saved? Well, let's think about it first of all in everyday life. To be saved, it means to be rescued. If you're in a difficult situation, if you're in danger, you need to be rescued. You need to be saved. And I once was in that position. I've probably told this story before. It's a true story. And I was 12. And the church that I used to go to had a Sunday school. And every year there was the Sunday school outing. And every year we went to the same place, Barry Island. Right? If you've never been to Barry Island, don't even bother trying to find it. It's a dump. All right? But we went every year. And after lunch, I'd taken a friend of mine, Stephen, with me. I used to call him Yanto because his father's name was Evan. I said to Yanto, I tell you what, let's go over the docks. And I said, let's see what boats are in. So Yanto and I went over to Barry Docks. Shouldn't have gone there. And there was a boat in. And I have no idea what happened. I honestly can't explain it. But there was the boat. Here was the quay. And I walked towards the boat to have a closer look. And I did get a closer look. A very close look. Because I fell in. Now, thankfully, I never reached the water. Because had I done so, I would not have been here today. I couldn't swim in those days. But I fell in, and I was wedged between the quay wall and the hull of the boat. I was stuck. And if that boat had moved out, literally, on the swell, if that boat had moved 2 inches, I wouldn't be here today. And I was just looking up, absolutely wedged, and I just was screaming, help. At that moment in time, nothing else mattered. Nothing. I needed to be saved. Wouldn't it be wonderful if in the next 10 minutes, if there was somebody in this room and you reached a point where nothing else mattered to you but by being saved by God. I needed to be rescued out of Barry Docks. And honestly, when we went there, I didn't see anybody around. But I started shouting, help. And that moment, a fella appeared walking along the quay. And he ran and he got a rope and he lowered it down right to where I was. Now, I didn't need him to come to me. There was no point in him coming to where I was. I wanted him to take me where he was. And he lowered that rope down and he pulled me out. He saved me. Ladies and gentlemen, this afternoon, I want to tell you about somebody else that saved me. I want to tell you about somebody that saved me, not out of Barry Dock, but saved me from the judgment of God. You see, I'm an ordinary Joe. I was born in a working class family. And my mother and father were Christians, and they went to a church just like this one. And my mother would tell me stories from the Bible and tell me about the Lord Jesus. There came a point in my life, and I don't know when it was, but there came a point in my life when I knew that I needed to be saved. Saved from what? Well, I'd never murdered anybody at that point. I had never done anything drastically wrong. I never gave my parents any big problems. But I wasn't saved. What do I mean? Well, I knew, even however young I was, that there was a God in heaven. That's a phrase from the Bible. There is a God in heaven. And that God is holy. The Bible says, in him is no darkness at all. God cannot deal carelessly or lightly with sin. Now look, I had three sons, still got them. And there would be times, those were in the good old days when you could smack kids. Great days they were. And we used to go up to where Mike is from. We used to go up to Redditch to our friends. I hated that journey. I absolutely hated the M42. Right? Because I don't know what got into my three sons, but they almost became demon-possessed going to Redditch. And you try fitting three boys roughly the same age in the back seat of a car, and it's a recipe for carnage. And I remember stopping on the hard shoulder of the M42, and I hit the three of them because I didn't know which one was to blame. But I knew I got it right. I got the one right, at least, even if I got two wrong. But you see, the point is this. There would be other times when they would wind me up and I might be a bit softer. They might have caught me in a good mood. That didn't happen often. But they might have caught me in a good mood, and I may have overlooked something that they did that they shouldn't have done. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, I'm being serious. God will never overlook sin. Ever. He can't. Now you might think, well, I've never done anything wrong. I'm just a kid. I go to the gospel hall in Colford or in Spencer Bridge Road or whatever it is. I'm not a sinner, but you are. Whatever age you are, old or young, it doesn't matter the degree of sin. It's the fact of being a sinner. We've all done wrong. There's none of us perfect. And God must punish our sins. He must. But I want to tell you today that not only must God punish sin, but God's done something about it. God will punish sin. God will punish every sin without exception. He will. But God has done something about it. What has God done? He has provided a Savior. Someone who can save us from our sins. The Bible says the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. That God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son. That whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. I want to tell you this afternoon, there is a God in heaven, and He's interested in you. Now, isn't that an amazing thing? That this almighty, awesome, this God whose greatness is beyond our understanding, is interested in you. Whoever you are, whatever age you are, however important you might feel you are, however insignificant you might think you are, God has got an interest in you, and he's done something about it. God sent his Son into this world to be a savior. There's a verse in the Bible, and it says this. It says, "The Son of God loved me and gave himself for me." That's my favorite Bible verse. It's not even a whole verse. It's just a little part of a verse. But it is my favorite Bible verse. And almost every Sunday, without exception, I go to the meeting where I'm from in Caerphilly, and we have a service like we had earlier on here. And every Sunday morning, I think of these words, "The Son of God loved me, gave himself for me." God loved you. God gave his Son for you. He loves you more than your mother. And he loves you more than your dad. And he loves you more than anyone. And God sent his Son into this world, not just to be a good example, but to die, to be a sacrifice. You see, God must punish sin. And he'll either punish you, or if you are willing to trust in the Lord Jesus and believe on him, God was willing to punish Jesus for your sins if you trust in him. God can't just open heaven and say anybody can come in. If you want to get into heaven, if you want to be with God, something has to be done about your sins. There, 2,000 years ago on the cross of Calvary, the Lord Jesus died in order to make it possible for God to be able to give you forgiveness of sins and peace with him and eternal life. And you know, nearly 99% of the people in the town where I live don't care about it. 99% of the people that live in Caerphilly have no interest in God at all. Zero. He's irrelevant to them. Is there somebody in the room this afternoon, and you realize that you're a sinner that needs to be saved? And there's a God who has an interest in you. And there's a God who sent his Son for you. And I want to tell you, the Jesus that died 2,000 years ago is alive. I want to tell you he's living. I want to tell you that he is alive. He rose from the dead. He's gone back to heaven. And the Jesus that is in heaven wants to be your savior. You know those verses that we read? They said in Luke chapter 23, he saved others. Do you know that's good? They were dead, right? He had saved others. And I want to tell you today that every single person in heaven, every single person can say he saved others. And I want to tell you today that everybody in this room and everybody in Northampton can truthfully say he saved others. And I want to tell you something else. Every person in the pit of hell can say truthfully he saved others. But then we read another verse. And we read that he saved us. I want to tell you that everybody in heaven today can say he saved us. And I want to tell you there are people in this room at this very moment who can say he saved us. Listen. There's not one single person in hell who can say he saved us. Not one. But Peter said, Lord, save me. Boys and girls, ladies and gentlemen, the greatest, most vital issue in life is to be saved. It trumps everything. Somebody from this church, John Salisbury, and myself, and somebody that used to be here years ago, John Scarsbrook, and a friend of ours from Hampshire, Mark Hill, we went to France. And as you do sometimes when you're abroad, you meet other folk and they're speaking English, and you say, oh, where are you from? And where are you from? And you chat away. And we met these group of people, and we were chatting together, and we were saying the usual thing, you know, well, where are you from? And suddenly I thought, and I said to one of the people, I said, actually, you know, it doesn't matter where you're from. I said, what matters is where are you going? I want to ask each of you in the room as I close. When you leave this life, as one day we all will, where are you going? You're either going to be with Christ or without him. God has done something about it. He gave his son that you might be saved. The Lord Jesus gave his life that you might be saved. What have you got to do to be saved? You haven't got to cry. You haven't got to pray. You haven't got to do anything except trust. When that man was pulling me up, I depended totally, unreservedly, absolutely on him. That's what it means to be saved. To trust, rely on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved. That's the meeting over. In a very simple, limited, very limited way, that's the good news of the gospel, that you can be saved, that there is a Savior. And I want to tell you this, the God that saved me, honestly, wants to save you. And the Lord Jesus that died for me and gave his life for me, died that you might be saved as well. Will you think about this? Why don't you trust him? Shall we pray?